we're holding on Daf Lamed Aleph. We're in the middle of darshaning the various elements that the Parsheka Tirchak is Machayev. And of course, the Kamli Namnir, all of them, was the sense of Harchoka, going far away from a situation that could even lead you into elements of Sheker that would resemble elements of Sheker. And we're up to now the fourth half on Amud Aleph. Minayin l'talmid sh'yoshev b'tznei rabo v'ro'es zchut l'ani v'chov li'ashir minayin sh'lo yishkov. How do we know that if a Talmud is sitting in front of the Rav who is being done, and he sees that he could say something that could change things and to be the favor of the ani, and of course it would bring him into disfavor with the usher, who would be the Messiah. Minayin sh'lo yishkov. How do we know that it's usher for him to worry about such things? And he has to say the truth to make sure that the din comes out properly. Furthermore, that he shouldn't, and Rashi said back in Sanhedrin, the issue was also he shouldn't be chelik on his rav in such a case as well. So here the Gemara says it's also one of the things that we learned with Barshek and Yerfok, where Tosfos points out that we actually had it before we spoke about the element of the Ani and Archer more, which is the lo saguru mipneish, that everybody's responsible, not to fear someone's power in a court of law. And that would be Chal in the Talmud as well. But over here we're talking about the aspects of the Sheker that's involved, and we're stressing the Midvar Sheker. And so as we said, that often the Gemara comes to the same conclusion from various elements that are part of the idea. Another din, of Midvar Sheker, Chirka Minayim, the Talmud Shereyas Rabba Shetlebedin. How do you know that if a Talmud sees his Rab making a mistake, that he shouldn't say to himself, Shalo Yomar, I'm seeing no Hachik Merenu. Let me wait until he paskins, then I can show that he's wrong, and then I can show what's really right, and then I'll make a good name for myself. Shlo yomar amtin lo ad shigmerenu v'asatrenu v'avenu mishavlik, kedei shiikarei hadin al shmi. Yomar midvar sheker tirchak. The reality of the situation is required now to deal with what's in front of you. This is your mechuyah to be involved in hotzah le'emes, not to be to allow things to be built for Sheker and then to try because you get something out of it to get something out of it. Naila Talmitra Marlo Rabo. How about a Talmud who's ready comes in and says, you know, I need a favor. Yodea Tabi, Shinodimi Meamona, any Mivade. You know, you could give me $100,000. I wouldn't make up a lie. You know that perfectly well. Now, the fact is that somebody owes me $100. So I only have one witness. I need you to come along. No, he shouldn't come along. So that's not a dvar sheker tirchak. That's real sheker. What do you mean? You're supposed to say, I know that you owe him $100. Isn't that just... We'll bring the raya from... Make yourself distant from Sheker. That's out and out lies. Of course, it doesn't mean that Rebbe asks him to testify falsely. He says to him, I have one witness already. Don't want to be goring the guy over here, a matzah with a shmuel and this. You come along and stand there, he'll think you're a witness. And make it look like it, and then already the guy will admit it. So ta kum hasam. Well, okay, little media, don't open your mouth. So don't attack me for shikri. Not you saying anything wrong. Since Lamaisa creates the impression that he's an aid, he has to be misrapping from it, even though it's for a good purpose. And furthermore, how about a guy who knows that somebody owes him $100? So he says to himself, you know what? And he's not allowed, Shavu Yomar, he shouldn't say to himself, let me demand $200. The guy will be mode only $100. So I have to make a shvua. And that way, that land issue that I have with him, that he doesn't, normally you don't take a shvua on land, I'm going to be megalgal that shvua on him. And then I'll have to be mode to me about the other property he owes me. הגלגל עליו שורה ממקום אחר. תמוד אומר, מדבר שקר תלך. Yet there too. And how can you be so bad at him for 200 when he doesn't owe you 200? Minayin. How about if a guy is owed $100 and Tain is $200? So the person who's Taining against doesn't want to make a Shvua. So he says, you know what? And he's not Shalom, I shouldn't say this. You know what? A Kabrenov of Beis Din. In Beis Din, I'll deny him anything. So I don't have to make him a Shvua. After we leave Beis Din, I'll go and I'll pay him, and I'll tell him what's the Beis Din. And furthermore, I think this guy's only doing this in order that he wants to make a Gilgal Shvua. But the Tosa says, the guy is lying, and he's not admitting that he owes him money, so why is he more afraid of this than the other one? Because Lamaita intends to pay, He doesn't have money right now to pay. See, he's just hoping he's getting money next week, and somebody doesn't want the Beis Din to pass him now to start selling his things, and God only knows what, saying, okay, he wants to get out of now, either this Shvua, obviously in order to avoid this Shvua, or in a different case, he's not concerned with this Shvua, he's concerned about the Gilgal Shvua. So, what would be the issue in that? Again, you're going to tell the guy in court you don't owe him anything, it's not true. Inayin l'shlosha, shenoshin mana be'echad. How about a case where three people jointly lent someone $100? So one of them, they come up with an idea. And this is Shaloh Yomar. This is not a kosher idea. Their idea is, you know what? Let's, instead of all of us demanding our share of $100, the $100 will say is owed only to one of us. And then two of us will be impartial witnesses to get $100 out of him for them. And then we'll split it. That we each get our portion of $100. We have two witnesses. And there's no problem in getting it. So how do you know that, let's say it again inside, and then they should split it? And it doesn't mean that they can't really be mevater on their schus, you'll notice. Because it says only over here, the achlov. Because if they know the guy is a phony, and they figure, okay, so at least one of us will get money. If they want to really be mevater on their schus, the other guy, they could, in fact. Despite the fact that they were the ones who had initially made the loan, they could still be made if he owns $100, because it's no longer considered to be bali dinim. That's the diet that is made in the Gemara, the achlov with them. Inayim l'shnayim shubo l'din. How about in a case where two people come into the court? Echad lavush smartutim. One of them is dressed in rags. Echad lavush it's talit bat me'amana. The other guy is wearing this $100,000 suit. So she'omrim lo, we tell the guy that's wearing the fancy suit, either lavush kamoto, either dress the way he's dressed, or hal bishu kamotcha, or you dress him the way you're dressed. But this kind of business of coming in, intimidating the other guy by trying to look like you're a multimillionaire, and he's psychologically at a disadvantage. So I'm a woman with my shekhet yachak. In order to avoid that psychological disadvantage, the mindset here, the Rishonim speak out that it's only where this person is jockeying for psychological advantage. That's why I said, keep with Mayamana, what do we need this kind of contrast? And you say the other guy is dressed normally. What is it? Why is that the case where one guy is dressed in rags and the other guy is dressed in a multi-million dollar? Why don't you say, one guy is smart to do, one guy isn't smart to do? Because the halakha doesn't apply to that. There's a case in which the person that's there in the smart to do is used to deal with the way he deals with society. It's the way he dresses. It's okay. He understands that's the way everybody dresses. But for the guy to come in, the dafka, in a suit like that, is an act of psychological warfare. He's coming in with psychological warfare, which I'm very good. So either you dress like him, or you borrow a suit, get him dressed the way you're dressed. So that's out of our sheker, because we sense that there's an Indian of sheker over you. Furthermore, in Lamaiske, I also came into Rava Baravuna normally, when people would come into Rava Baravuna. You know, nowadays there's only one element of clothing among people who wear suits.
It's the box. That was the box making that noise.
Yeah, but the box may be making the noise because it's a problem in here. All right, whatever, I'll have to...
Is it better if we turn it off?
No, we'll be cold. So the mice are nowadays the only article of clothing that we are able to express ourselves in is our ties. The only thing you have ties for, you know, serve a purpose. They give a man a chance to find something that doesn't just look like black and white, whatever it's with. So in those days, it was the shanty boots that you wear. It was nice, it was like a sock boots. So he would have them take off your Kuzmaik boot before coming in, because that way you'll all be more similar to each other. We won't have any kind of one-upmanship in the court. How do we know a judge shouldn't listen to somebody who's trying to tell him over his side of the story before the other guy comes? Talmud lomar midvar sheker tirchak. There too, it's an inyan of midvar sheker. Over here, what's really the midvar sheker? The assumption is that someone, this is how Rashi understands it, someone who doesn't have the sensitivity to recognize that he has to speak in the presence of the other person, which is open to reality. There's nothing to hide. He has no sensitivity to sheker. There's an indication here that the person is manipulative, and it is so memele after the chayish. Why do I have to chayish without any sheker? But it's not that the etzem, the thing would be sheker. And it's not because I hear it not in front of the other guy, but it's because the indication appears that this is a person who has no sensitivity to sheker. Right, this is the inyan of shav that Rashi speaks about, and we'll see. And how about that a person shouldn't try to speak to a dayan and to show the sense of his taina before the other guy is there? And if Kahana says this, you can actually learn from Lo Sisa Shem Hashav. Lo Sisa means not to accept Shem Hashav, and Lo Sasi it can be read. Lo Sasi means not to carry a Shem Hashav. So what's the Shem Hashav? Shem Hashav is a funny Russian. Shem Hashav is that it's like Shur Hashav, meaning that it's vain, that it's meaningless. I mean, how does he see this as vain and meaningless? So this is where Rashi says, the point is that someone who is willing to speak not in front of the other person, trying to show his side of things, he has no sensitivity. That's not Hashav. He has no Gusha. It's not what an open person who's trying to discuss realistically his position in a court of law, that's not the way that he would act. And so Mamela, it becomes now Shav Mamish.
It's important that they use
Kabbalah
Slash. It's
the same type of Drush. Yeah. I'm using it, same question. The Asher Lo Tov Asav Toch Amav. What is this? Yechezkel brings a list of things that a father can do and then show that the son, if he doesn't follow in those steps. So that there's no din on the son from the father and vice versa. So, but one of the things that he says is very unclear. Asher lo tov asa b'toch amav. What exactly is Asher lo tov asa b'toch amav? Within his people, he did that which wasn't right. So Rav says this means shababa harsha'a. Somebody who comes as an attorney, he uses the power of attorney to prosecute someone else's case. Rashi learns the reason is because if you're coming Baharsha'a, you would have no right to make any type of compromise. You can't compromise on the other guy's thing. Because if the guy himself would have come, they may have been able to reach a compromise. So in getting involved in business that isn't yours, you make life harder and full of more machlokas. Tozer says that the issue over here is only in a case where you're really a lawyer. And you're used to, you're tough, and you're used to dealing with issues. And so, Mamela, the reason that you're getting involved is to take advantage of your superior the powers of argument and so on. But if the reason that you're getting involved is because the other person is incapable of coming to court, or he can't prosecute his own life, I'm articulate or whatever, so then enough yinami, then it's a mitzvah to be Baba Hasha. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says this could be referring to Lokeach Sadesh Yesh Aleh Asikin. Sometimes people can't get rid of a property because there's too many other claims against the property. So anybody who buys the property has got to take on himself years of lawsuits, so the price goes down drastically. This guy, who is a real toughie and has got the top lawyers and who doesn't give a hang about that kind of thing, he runs around looking for picking up a good deal like this, where he can use his superior contacts, his mafia friends, to make sure that this will be taken care of. So yeah, it's the same idea. You're going to utilize your strength of arms, so to speak, and get involved in issues that you really shouldn't be involved
in. We have two tiers also. We have all of these arguments that are brought and proved by the Rosh HaKadosh, and they're all relating to court. Is the case that we're just dealing with court issues,
no.
Or is it the case that the only thing that the Rosh HaKadosh applies to is court issues?
No, the Rosh HaKadosh applies in general. We're bringing over here how Chokka from Sheker can apply, can appear no gay in a court, where you think in a court it's either yes or no. I mean, it's not a moralistic issue, Din. It's a straightforward yes or no, it's not. If something is us, it should be us, or if not, not. I mean, the Gemara is saying that there's an element of involvement in Sheker that applies also to a Bezel, whether it's in terms of appearances, or in the chance that it could affect ultimately Sheker. I mean, you say, what's not mean if Diane has a Talmud Borel if one not? I mean, so. So the guy's dumb, so therefore that means I'm going to give a wrong sack. I mean, no, but it does. Even elements of Sheker are important in it. That's why Tosfos points out there's other reasons. We have other psukim for these things later on. Let's say the case of Shlo Yishma Divrei Baal Din Chavero. We learned that out in Sanhedrin where it says Shema Dein Anikah. Only listen between the two. What are we bringing it over here from Yifar Shekhetiyah, from Los Hasi? Because we want to show that there are different elements that are also in the case. Not only particularly those things that are there, Shema Ben Akechem is Mamish in terms of the singular Dayanim, but even in general, the Dayanim is important from these elements. In an Ayegat Selebruin Lahayit, La Fukimai. When you say Beruim, you already spoke about Nashim, you already spoke about Krovim. I mean, what exactly is the case that you're referring to over here? That there's no fear of Shvuat Ha'idut on somebody who cannot be made. Lafuki Mai. Omrafapa Lafuki Melech. Since we saw before that a king cannot come to be made, we learned that out from Som Tassim Alecha Melech, and that having him appear in court in this fashion, which he has to stand in front of Dayanim, is considered to be a pagam in the melech, which has no rights to be mavater on. So therefore, if a king would swear that he doesn't know testimony, the testimony anyway wouldn't be acceptable in court. And therefore, it's not included in the Bar Yeshua Seidus. Rebacher by Yaakov Omer, Lafuki Misachek Bekufi. It excludes someone who lives off of playing dice. Suman Yomer Misachek Bekufi, where Misachek Bekufi is only a psul derabbana. Because even if you hold that Esmachta Lokanya, in other words, that the understanding that the bet that is made in the gambler is usur to take, and there's no kinyan of that basic initial agreement, because there's always the assumption that you had that you would win. Although I must tell you that those who hold this Esmachta Lokanya wouldn't even apply here, because if you're dealing solely with chance, it's not considered to be an Esmachta. Smachta means you have something to be somed from. Misaki Bekuvi, unless he obviously has loaded dice and he has ways of making money, is not being somed on anything. He understands that it's a question of luck. All right, but let's assume even that we're talking about a case that would be Nogea Geneva because of the Smachta Lokanya. The Torah doesn't passel that type of Geneva. It only passels Gazlan Midiraisa. Gazlan Midiraisa means somebody who uses force to take somebody from somebody else just by exot et hachanit miyad hamitzri. So even there would only be a psul derabbanan. So therefore, the man diomar that it's referring to the misaki b'kuvya kosher. Yeah, kosher cane, it would apply to the melech, because the melech is a psul diuraisa. If you hold the melech, a man diomar melech misaki b'kuvya. Could be he would be chayav on a shvuas eifus because midiraisa mivzachazin. Actually, midiraisa is kosher eifus. It's only the rabbanon that passel him. So mamela, his shvua is really nageya in a diraisa sense. Now, this is an extremely problematic issue, which all the rishonim are very worried about. It has a lot of implications to ledin. Who the heck cares whether midiraisa his testimony is useful? In reality, his testimony is not useful. It's the whole din of the Shua to Eidus is that someone who could practically have made an afkamina for you and made you money, prevented a loss of money, who isn't made it for you, is chayev. But if there's nothing he could have done anyway, and his testimony wouldn't have mattered, we'll see many examples of this as we go through the sugya, then he's not chayev in Shua to Eidus. So what do we care if theoretically this person was a misakai b'kuvya, theoretically, but he writes that we would have accepted. We don't accept his testimony. It's not going to do any good for him to be made it for you. So who cares that he says, I don't know testimony. If he did no testimony, it wouldn't matter. So there's some Rishonim that conclude on this Gemara, that you see from here, that in the case of Psul Eidus bin Rabbonan, it must be that at least if the person would be toe-faced the money, that we wouldn't be motzi miyoda. In other words, to the extent that we have an aid, let's say we didn't know, we listened to his aidus. Then somebody comes along and says, no, this guy was possible because he's a misaki b'kuvya and makes his living from gambling. And then the person for whom the testimony was said goes and grabs money from the one that was found to be chayav in money based on this testimony, which now the court will disregard. They won't take what he grabbed back. That's tvisa. So since at least it's nogeya tvisa, kind of the Rajba, that's why over here it's considered to be meaningful in terms of shvuas ha'edus. Now there's even questions as to whether by the end of the sugya, we'll see why there might be changes later, whether he remains with this, or whether in fact we wouldn't at the end agree to tvisa. But we'll see there's a lot of discussions as to what the meaning of Chlal, there's discussions of what the meaning of a Psul Drabonin is in terms of Dinim B'Raisa. And this is one of the things that's brought in, but I mean over here it seems to be blatant. If it's Lamaisa, not usable, there shouldn't be a Chiyuv. Bifnei Beis Din v'shelo Bifnei Beis Din. So we have now a Machlokes between Reb Meir and the Rabbanan, about whether there exists the concept of Shvuas Eidus Shalom Bifnei Bezdin. Rav Meir Tainas, if you say it on your own, or you say Amen, which is the equivalent of saying it on your own, it exists even Shalom Bifnei Bezdin. Rabban has said it's no such thing. Shvuas Eidus is only Bifnei Bezdin. What are they arguing, asked the Gemara? The Rabban and the Yeshiva wanted to say to Rav Papa that the Machlokas is based on the famous question of Don Mina Mina, or Don Mina V'Ukiba Atraka Miflagei. So they're arguing as to whether something that needs to be derived from a different location, whether it's derived along with all of its limitations in that location, or whether the concept is derived, but then it's applied contextually. What does that mean? Well, in this case, it's simply as follows. The halacha of Mushba Mipi Atzmo does not appear anywhere in the Sugya of Shvuas Eidus. In the Sugya of Shvuas Eidus, it only speaks about the Dayanim making the Shvuah. So how then do we know, Bichlal, that there is a concept of Mipi Atzmo? We learn it out of Shvuat HaPikadon. No, there's a problem with this. We learn it out from Shvuat HaPikadon. Well, over there, the Torah is not machalic, whether it's Bifnei Beis Din or Shalom Bifnei Beis Din. But there it does say that he was Nishba, not that others were Mashbiyayim. So now, the question is, Rabbi Meir Safar Don Mina Umina? We apply all the dinim that we learn about Mipi Atzmo from the context from where we derive it, namely Pikadon.
יוצק הפיקדון מושפע מפי עצמו חייב, אף עדות מושפע מפי עצמו חייב. בפיקדון it says בפרש של הצג מב ונשבע, he makes the שבוע. And by פיקדון there's no הקפור on a בזדן, never mentions בזדן over there. So therefore we learn it out directly from the פיקדון. מה פיקדון בין בביתין בית שלו, בביתין? Just like where we learned it from. It wouldn't matter whether it's in front of Beit Din or not. So when we apply it to the din of Shvuat Eidut, it takes on the same dinim as it would have in the context of Pikadon. Therefore, what we learn from Pikadon, which is the Mipi Atzmo, or where he said Amen, which is the same as Mipi Atzmo, we give it the dinim of Pikadon, and we don't talk about this. Whereas the Rabbanan, Tzavri Don Minavu Uki Ba'atran, the Rabbanan hold, no, no, no. When you learn something out, you still have to apply it in the context in which you're learning it to. So, yes, we learn, Ma pikadon mushpa miti atzmo, you're chayev. Af edut mushpa miti atzmo, you're chayev. But, what is the application? Oh, the application of Shvuat Eidut. In which case, uki ba'atra, put it into context of Shvuat Eidut, and what do you come out with? Just like Ma mushpa miti acherim, just like the given case of Shvuat Eidut, which is that the Bezdin is Mashpia, is Dafka Bifnei Bezdin, or somebody else is Mashpia in front of Bezdin, it's only in front of Bezdin, in, but Shaloba Bezdin Lo, Af Mushbami Piatzmo, so too, when somebody makes a Shvua on his own, even though that I know from Shvua the Pikadon, but that's only in Bezdin. The Bezdin in, Shaloba Bifnei Bezdin Lo. This is what the Rabbanit said to Rav Papa. And Rav Papa said back to them, no. I don't accept that as being necessarily the explanation. If that's your point, then I could say that it could be maybe everybody would agree that we certainly would apply the dinim of Pikadon, even chutz lebezdin, you would be chayev. Maybe the reason that the Rabbanan say that it's only in Bezdin is because they don't learn it from Pikadon at all. Rather, they say it's a Kal V'chomer. If the Torah is Mechayev you on Shvuat Eidut, even if somebody else said the words and you didn't say Amen, so kosher came for heaven's sake if you say the words yourself. When you say Amen, as if you said the words yourself, for sure you're going to be Chayev, right? So, Mi'imitimabi Te'akirim Chayev, Mi'imitimolo kosher came. Now, if it's learned from a Kal V'chomer, then of course it's limited by Dayo. Dayo means you cannot learn from a Kal V'chomer more than the lowest element that was needed to make the Kal V'chomer. The lowest element needed to make the Kal V'chomer is what was given. And what was given was the fact that you can be chayiv for a shvua in front of Bezdin. Okay, fine. So you can also be chayiv for a shvua that you make yourself in front of Bezdin. You can't say, so Koshikin, you should be chayiv for making a shvua outside of Bezdin. That doesn't make any sense. And therefore, the Rabbanan is saying, since the basis of the limud is only the Kal V'chomer, we don't learn the Gzeirah Shavah from Pikadon. So then, of course, it's limited locally by the din of Dayo, because it's a local limud. So Dayo liyot min adin liyot kinidon, ma mushba mipi acherim, just like the only case that's given in the Torah about Shvuat Eidus, where someone else says the words, is only in front of Bezdin Ish, Shaloba Bezdin Lo. Then by definition of Dayo, Af Mushbar Mipi Atzmo, as only Bifnei Beitin, Inshin Lo Bifnei Beitin Lo. Said the Rabbana to Rav Papa, how can you say that to us? How can you say that the Rabbana don't learn out of Pikadon? And that there's no argument that Don Mino Omino? Of course there is. I mean, because there's also the opposite. How do we know that if I have Pikadon, there's also a chiyuv of someone who hears the Shvua from somebody else? Now that can only be learned from Shvua Sa'edis. And that's the din. And we'll show you, that there's clearly a machlokas about whether Domi no me not. Because look at that Mishnah later on. Hatzan gabi pikadon. We have the same idea in the inverse. That Shvata pikadon is no eged ba'anashim, uvnashim. Same Mishnah that we'd had over here, lagabi bitui and shav and edus. And that a Shvua pikadon is, whether it's male or female, whether it's a korov or not a korov, whether the person is kosher, whether he's fossil, whether he's bifnei bezin, whether she's low bifnei bezin, mipi atzmo, if he says the shvua himself, and mipi acherim, but if someone else makes the shvua, and of course that can only be learned from shvua seiders, eno chayav achi yichpor bo bebezin, divrei Rabbi Meir, It would only be if it's in front of Bezdin. What does the Chachamim say? Bein mipi atzvo, bein mipi achirim, kibin shikofa bochayev. And even if it's not in front of Bezdin. Now can you explain to me what the machlokas is? How come over here Rabbi Meir turns out saying that, well, no, it would only be in front of Bezdin. And the Chachamim say it would be chayev whether it's in front of Bezdin or not, even if it's mipi achirim. What, does the Rabbana suddenly inverted their shita? Obviously, the only way we know mushbah kirim by pikadon is where? It's from Shavuos Eidos. So mushbah mi piyachrim pikadon mino lo rabban ad chayev lab begami lo mi edut. Isn't it because they learned out of the gzera shava of a kikata from edut? And what do they hold? They hold that even though that's the case, but in pikadon it doesn't matter whether it's in front of Bezdin or not. So you see that they're arguing about don mi nao mi na plike. They clearly are arguing in don mi nao mi na. And they're saying, okay, but when it comes to Shavuot HaPikadon, where there's no din of in front of Bezdin, it has a din of Shavuot HaPikadon. Says Rav Papa, now you're talking intelligently. Yes, from that Mishnah, you could conclude what you concluded. But you tried to conclude it from here. And you came along and said, oh, it must be because of Domi Nomi. Who says? I can show you it could be another Machlokas. Whether the Chalal we learn it out from Shavuot HaPikadon, or whether we learn it out from a Kal Vachomer and we're limited by Dayo. Now you're coming along, you're telling me, what about the mission later? Fine. Enoch Inami, the mission later, indeed, is clearly a riot that there is a Machlokas about Domi Nomi. Admittedly. V'chayavina zidon ha-shvu'ah. And here, uniquely by Shavuot Eidos, there's a chiyuv, even if you did it the mezid. Minan and Eli, how do we know that? As we've already seen before, the Tanur Rabbanan, the Kulan Ne'emar Be'Me'Ne'elam, in every other case of Shvua, it says, V'Ne'elam. Why Dafka over here, V'Kan Lo Ne'emar Be'Me'Ne'elam? Why when it comes to Shavuot Eidos, does it never mention the word V'Ne'elam? Because you don't need a halama. Meaning that you would be chiyuv, even if it was the mezid. You're still, I have a carbon oil of yarit. Ba'al shigata im zdona edut. Furthermore, you're chayev, if you were shogeg on the shvua, but you knew you were lying. You knew that you did know testimony. So then, understand, so what's the shogeg? So if you know me shigata, I mean, the guy knows that he's lying, and what is he being shogeg? Well, he says, yodea mi shvua zua, so I know that I'm lying. But I never knew that I was chayav a korban on it. Any of them, im chayavim korban olo. That itself is considered to be the shogeg on the shvua, as Monbaz had by normal katot. And in this case, this is the only way to have that shogeg on the shvua.
The shvua, if he doesn't
do the mezid,
if he's not chayav a korban, is it a kula or a
chumra
if he's chayav a
korban? That's a kula. Normally he would be, well, I mean, it has in it kula and chumra, but normally be chayav malchus for a shvua that he does the mezid
base. His korban is instead of malchus. Yeah, he would be
malchus. Right.
He doesn't get malchus.
He doesn't get malchus, right? In other words, there's no lav that's mechayev him here in malchus.
It's a kula.
Well, yeah, you can look at it as a kula. I mean, but it's also a chumra. If he didn't get a hasra, he still chayev to bring a korban, which normally he wouldn't be chayev anything on if there was no korban for mezid. Well, the Chalal, you can look at Korban as a kula because she can teach to have ilo kapora. I mean, the Gemara uses it in both directions, so it's not a question that can be answered simply. We've seen that the Gemara sometimes will say, I don't know, but you could say maybe we should look at the fact that Torah allows us to bring a Korban, we should look at it as a kula because it allows him a kapora. So the Gemara handles it earlier both ways. Vein chayavina shigata greidata. But for not knowing that he didn't know testimony, he says, I swear I don't know testimony. He didn't realize he knew testimony. Then you're not chayav. Oh. So now, this is a Mishnah saying that whole story that we had. We thought it was like so interesting that when Rav Kahana and Rav Asi were arguing after the shir about what Rav had said, and then they said, oh, so we were lying. And Rav said, no, you really believed what you were saying. So now that's what the Mishnah is saying. You're telling me that really was a Mishnah? That whole discussion, what do we have it for? And you say, here's the Farish in the Mishnah, that a Shigiga on what you were saying, thinking that was true, that's not considered to be Bechayim you at all? Says the Gemara, no. Even though it does say it here in the Mishnah, that doesn't mean that it would have applied over there. Why? Because I would have said, if it wouldn't be that, that Rav explained it, I might have thought to myself that by carbon shvua to edus, it's a unique case, because the Torah has never mentioned the halona. So therefore, even the shogeg has been notched up one level, and therefore, the din over here is, the shogeg has to be similar to the mazid, that there's elements that you're really doing wrong. Just something that wasn't right, like, that you didn't know completely, like, you weren't sure you were chayev shvua. But when it comes to a carbon that is based truly on shogeg, maybe a shogeg that is carbon la'anus, where you really thought you didn't know testament, maybe that's the shogeg. So then I would say, after the shigigat ha'koldu, that's called a shigigat carbon. Kamash v'lan, that it's not called a shogeg even by shvaz bitri. That's called already, no, you swore correctly by your own sights. Shvuata edut keitzad. What's the example of being chayav shvuata edus? Amar l'shnayim bo'u v'ha'iduni. A man comes up to two people. He says, I need you to come to court for me. Shvu'a she'en anu yod'im l'cha'idud. We swear we don't know anything. Or they don't swear. They just say, en anu yod'im l'cha'idud. And he says, mashbi'an yalechem. I'll make you swear about this. And they say, amen. Hare elu chayavim. They are chayav because they said amen, and this is mipi atzma.
Are there aiding at this event?
They are the aiding. What do you mean, are there aiding? To be mechayav and mekarbon? You don't need aiding to be mechayav and mekarbon.
Chayav them that they may just witnesses of the shavua that they...
You don't need witnesses to be mechayav them.
That the shavua was made, that's what
no, you mean is it in front of Bezin? Is that what you're asking?
Well, yeah.
No, not Edom or Bezin. Is your question about whether we're going like the Rabbanan or Rebbe Meir? Is that your question? Or is your question about whether we need Edis to be Mechayev a person to carbon? No, we don't need Edis to be Mechayev a person to carbon.
He thought they didn't know Edis and they said they didn't know.
They did know, but they swore they didn't. That's the Shuas Edis. So then they're chayav. We'll talk in a moment about the other question, about whether this needs to be the Bnei Bezdin. Now, Yishbiya Aleihem Chamesh Pa'amim Chutz L'Beitim. Now suppose he does this five times outside of Bezdin. And each time they swear, no, we don't know what you're talking about. Ubo L'Beitim. And then they come to Bezdin, and in front of Bezdin, they in fact say, yes, we know, and we'll testify. So then they are peturim. But if in Bezdin now they're kofar, then they become chayev on everything that they had said before, and they're chayev al kol akat v'akat. Now, Tosfos has different approaches to the Mishnah. The simplest approach is that it's going, I'll leave it to Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir says, you're chayev chutz l'Bezdin, as long as, of course, you said amen, which is the equivalent of being mushba mipiatzmo. And that is why it says over here Vamar Amein, because according to why would we need to say Vamar Amein if in fact we're talking about Bifnei Bezdin? According to Rabbanan B'Klal, there's no din of Anias Amein, right? Because it would, the only case would be if it was in front of Bezdin. So that would be the simplest way of understanding it. But you could learn that it's going according to the Rabbanan as well, and the Amein that it says over here, it's just simply to avoid saying the whole thing about how it is that because the point over here is that if they say that five times, the case of the Sefer, five times chutz l'bezdin, which l'chora according to Rabbanan means absolutely nothing, the Mishnah would then be telling us that according to the Rabbanan, the only thing that needs to be in front of Bezdin is the actual kfira in front of Bezdin. But the fact that once you have sweared outside of Bezdin, that now you can become chayev on what it is that you said earlier, that was nogea this shvua, perhaps the Rabbanan also made it, because the whole way we know that you'd be chayev on each one separately is by the words la'achat mi'ela. So lachat mi'ela imply a very interesting thing. Now let's consider for a moment. If a guy had been kofar in Besdin, can he then be chayav a shvua if the man again forces him in front of Besdin to swear? No. Because having been kofar in Besdin, he can never take it back and now say, well, actually, I do know Eidus. If you told the Dayanim you don't know Eidus, you can't turn around and say, I do know Eidus. Because the first admission is Eidus. You can't change your Eidus in court. You said you didn't know anything about it. You can't turn around now and say you do know something about it. So therefore, the second shvuah, as we'll see in the continuation of the mission, is meaningless. So if the Torah went out of its way to say, al-achas mi'ela, and the Rabbanan hold that you're only chayav in fear of the Bezdin, obviously the achas mi'ela has to be able to be mechayav you ex post facto on denials that you made chutz l'Bezdin, as long as you confirm those denials with an actual kafira in front of Bezdin, which indeed makes it impossible for you to be made. That's the point. So, Mamela, if that's true, so then Kofru, if you come into Bezdin subsequently and you're Kofru in front of Bezdin, that seals it. And now you're Chayav al-Kol Achas Mi'Achas because the Torah said, al-Achas Mi'Elam. On the other hand, if Yishbi al-Ayem Chamesh Pa'amim Bifnei Bezdin, if these kafiras took place in front of Bezdin and then Kofru each time, Eino Chayav al-Achas. Why? Says Rabbi Shimon, my time. Because if it was in front of Bezdin, the first time that they were kofar, they could no longer be made. So, it doesn't do any good if they say afterwards, we swear we don't know testimony, because even if they did, it wouldn't have mattered. And that we've already seen that the concept of Shuas Eidus is dependent on their testimony having made a difference. And since here it wouldn't have made any difference anyway, what's the point? Now, in the cases that we've been talking about, Kofru Shneim Kech are the two people involved, because you need two people to testify. So if both of them, Betoch Kedek Dibor, swore, or said, Amei, we don't know what you're talking about, then both of them are Chayav. But if first one of them denies it, and then the second one, since at the time that the first one denies it, the Eidus is now bottled, so the second one can no longer go to court for him. So in that case, only the first one is Chayav, because he ruined it. And the holder of Shua's Eidus is the guy who makes it impossible for you to recover what you need in court. So therefore, there only the Rishon would be Chayav, the Sheni would be Potter. Let's say Kafar Echad, one of the Eidim says, I know what you're talking about. And the other one says, you know, I know it. I'll go to court for you. The Kofar is Chayav. The other one obviously is Patur. How you stay Kitei Eidim? But suppose there were two different Kitot. Now, the first Kat is Koferet. And then the second kat is kofar. So you'd say, well, if the first kat is kofar, who cares? He can always go back to the second kat, so it doesn't make any difference. No, that's not true. There shteyem chayavot. We're not interested if at this time you are needed. But the point is, at this time you are an aid. So therefore, in having denied the aidus, you are chayav, even though there might have been somebody else that he could have been son. If I'm not in the Gemara, of course, we're going to go into all of the details, including we have to do with the question of why is one aid not Nogea being Mechayev, the guy is Shvua, that we should say he's Potter, when he ends up being Kaifa. It's still Nogea, his aid is. Okay, so all of which we'll discuss tomorrow.